We are 24 hours away from the NBA draft. This is going to be my final mock draft. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. As I said, the draft is 24 hours away. This is my final mock draft number 8. My last couple of mock drafts, one was me picking what I think teams will do. The last one I did, number 7, was a collaboration with three other draft guys as we went and took turns with picking for the teams. This is back to me, what I would do in these situations. And again, people are going to come in here, especially on YouTube, in the comments, trash, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. What does this bloke know? Knows nothing. Literally worst mock I've ever seen. Remember, when the draft happens, there'll be 30 picks in the first round in order from 1 to 30. And in 2 years' time, that won't be the order of how good those players are. That is 100% confirmed. Now, my order won't be the order in which those players are in terms of how good they are. That is also 100% confirmed. But because something doesn't adhere to what happens in the draft or what is projected by the big sites, whether it is ESPN or CBS or Sporting News or The Athletic or whoever it is, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's trash. This is what I would do in these positions, looking at how I value these players, how I think they fit in the NBA, how I think I fit on their current teams. And in 3 or 4 years' time, we can come back and say, Josh, you are an idiot, or man, that they are some great picks. And I think there'll probably be a mixture of all of that in there. This is me, what I would do, not what I think these teams would do, because teams are stupid. We know that teams are bad. We know that teams make consistently bad decisions. I make bad decisions too. I think I get a few more of them right at times than teams, but not in a huge proportion. But teams make shit decisions and the draft order is not indicative of how good these players are going to be. We know that's a fact. So in saying all of that, let's look at how I do have these 60 picks in the NBA draft, or how I would have them playing out. And there's been some changes from what I had last time. And again, this draft is so weird. It's so flat. There's no real star power. There is a lot of guys who fit in multiple places. And it's one of the hardest drafts to try and work out what's going to happen. At number one, it does look like in real life, Anthony Edwards is firming to go at number one. I think it's a mistake because I have LaMelo Ball at number one. I've had LaMelo Ball at number one all the way through this process. And I think that, yeah, his passing ability is fantastic. The shooting is a worry. Defensively, there's worry, but he's got size. He's a good, very unbelievably good passer, great vision, and I think the shot will improve. It's not great, and that's why it's hard to have pick number one in this draft, because he's not a guaranteed all-star type player. But he is who I have at number one. At number two, I've got the Golden State Warriors selecting Killian Hayes, the point guard out of Ulm over in Germany. Again, a big-bodied point guard who's got great vision. Very, very left-hand dominant, which is a worry. I think his shooting is going to be absolutely fine. I don't worry about the percentage on it. I think that the shot selection is pretty good. I think the free throw shooting is elite. High 80s, 88, 89% there. The vision is fine. I think that his alleged lack of athleticism is a little bit overblown. I think that he's fine in that respect, and I think defensively he's pretty good. I think he's got a strong floor, and for me, yes, the Warriors have Steph. They're not going to have him forever, and if when Steph goes off the court, you're going to rely upon Jordan Poole to be your ball handler, I reckon you're in a little bit of trouble. So getting an extra ball handler in there works for the Warriors. At number three, the Charlotte Hornets go with Onyeka Okongwu, the center out of USC. I think there is a real chance he's the best big man in this draft, and that's why I have him at number three. Switchable on defense, good rim protector. A little bit of passing upside, not much there. The shot, I'm not sure. The free throw shooting's okay. But just, I like what he does defensively. I think he can be an impactful guy in that respect for many years to come. Here's where the big change happens for me. Last time in my last one, I had Denny Avdija at number four to the Chicago Bulls. I'm just going balls out here. I don't really care. I'm going with Kyra Lewis of Alabama. And Lewis, in my first mock draft, was all the way down at number 16. Like, a long way down. And the more that I think about it, the more that I've watched Kyra, the more that I understand, I guess, the importance of having a player like that in the draft, the more that I've moved him up. And at number four, Coby White's had a strong 10-game run as a scorer. He's not a passer. Zach LaVine, who knows how long he's going to be on this Bulls team. Getting a ball handler, I think, is really important, and Lewis can do that. He's the fastest player in this draft. Defensively, he's got some issues. He finishing at the rim, there are some problems. I think he's a good three-point shooter. He's a good, very good passer, and he's really fast, and I think that's just valuable to get a player like that as a ball handler. Ideally, yeah, the Bulls would hope that someone like Killian Hayes would fall to them, even though they'll probably screw that up anyway, but I'm taking Kyra Lewis there. I'm just putting a premium on a guy that can be a creator for himself and for others, and that's what I think he can do. And at number five, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're taking Blunty, James Wiseman. Andre Drummond's opted in for one more year. I think he's not going to be on this team. They're going to trade him at some point this season. Wiseman is not going to be an immediate contributor to a good team, and the Cavs aren't a good team, but he'll come in and he'll take over the starting center job at some point this season. I worry about his defensive switchability. I think he can be a solid enough rim protector. I think he can, and maybe he can just be like Andre Drummond. I don't think he's going to turn into Chris Bosh because they're both left-handed. That's not how it works. The shooting is a worry with Wiseman to me, but I think he can be a solid enough offensive player with good rim protection. I just worry a little bit about the defensive stuff with how he fits across in the NBA. Don't forget, guys, there is one episode left of our Locked On NBA mock draft. The Locked On Podcast Network is also going to have live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Locked On Live. It's the only place that you can find Chad Ford, the GOAT of draft analysis, on the night of the draft. You can join Chad, Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, and David Locke for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and get alerts as soon as they go live. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar ever. 6 new flavors, which include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, apple almond crisp, carrot cake, and lemon almond cheesecake to go with the original 12 OG flavors. This is the best tasting protein bar ever. It doesn't taste like you're eating a protein bar. It tastes like a candy bar, and it's good for you. It's covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. It's great for a keto diet as well. The new Cherry Barcia bar has 17 grams of protein, just 130 calories, and 4 grams of sugar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, on to the next bunch of picks here. And at number 6, I've got the Atlanta Hawks selecting Devin Vassell. Lots of different directions I could have gone here. Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Denny Avdija, Isaac Okoro. And I think that they all sort of make sense. But Vassell, a really good shooter. An argument to be one of the best defenders in this class, if not the best. Up there with Isaac Okoro and Josh Green. Vassell shooting really strong across a couple of seasons. He doesn't, a big self-creator, but when you got Trae Young there, that's fine. He can just sort of sit there, spot up, and hit threes, perhaps in the Kevin Huerter role. One of Huerter, Reddish, and Hunter aren't going to work out long-term. You'd have to assume that. And Vassell just gives them another option on the wing there, even though his minutes may not be that big as a rookie. At number 7, it is Anthony Edwards going to the Detroit Pistons. Goose has fallen down here. He could go number 1. I really worry about his feel. I worry about his IQ. I worry about his defense. I worry about his passing. I worry about his shot selection. I worry about his shooting. After that, he's a great prospect. I think he's super athletic. I know he's super athletic. He can score. He needs the ball in his hands. He will have the ball in his hands in Detroit to a degree here. Derrick Rose isn't long for this team. Blake Griffin, who knows how much he's going to play. Edwards has an opportunity as the two guard here next to Luke Kennard with Bruce Brown going to get some really large roles, and he'll probably be a really high volume scorer. And for fantasy, that might work out all right. I just don't know what else he does. I don't know how you live with some of the poor shot selection, the lack of defensive effort, the poor shooting, which, unlike Killian Hayes or LaMelo Ball, is often due to poor selection rather than shots just not going in. And that's more of a worry to me for Edwards. And I worry that, is he going to be able to dominate players with his athleticism the way he did at college? That's why I've got him falling as much as I do. At number 8, the New York Knicks take Isaac Okoro, the wing out of Auburn. Good defensive player. Really solid passer and good finisher. The shot is a disaster, and I don't really know if it's ever going to come around, but the Knicks are okay with a low usage player, I would believe, next to RJ Barrett, someone who can defend and someone who can show some passing ability on this team. So I think he'd make sense for them. I don't think they'll go this direction, but I think he would make sense for them at 8. At number 9 is Alexei Pokusevski going to the Wizards, the power forward out of Olympiakos. Yeah, really got number 1 upside here for Pokusevski. Also could be an absolute bust. There's no denying that because he's super, super skinny and he's super weak. He's also super young. He doesn't turn 19 until after the season starts, but he can handle. He's a point guard in a power forward body. Well, not a power forward body, a tall forward body. Let's put it that way. He can dribble, he can pass, he can shoot threes. He is outrageously confident in what he can do on the basketball court. He's a good rebounder. He's a good shot blocker. It's just all of, people look at him and go, it's just about the strength and the level of competition. And that are absolutely fair criticisms. But I just want to see where it goes. And that's why I'm taking him at number 9. And at number 10, the Phoenix Suns take Denny Avdija. Yes, they did just trade for Chris Paul. They did trade away Kelly Oubre. So Avdija has an option to play at the 4. He can play at the 3. He can pass a little bit. The shot is the real worry, and that's why I've dropped him all the way from 4 down to 10. I'm just not convinced that the shot's ever going to come around, and I'm not sure what he does at a high level. I think he does a lot of things at a very good level, good finishing, good defense, but does he do anything at a high level? And that's why I've got him dropping down to number 10 here to Phoenix. At 11, the San Antonio Spurs take Patrick Williams. There's rumors that he might go as high as number 4 to the Bulls, and that would feel like a bit of a reach. Williams has some defensive upside. I'm a little bit worried about some of his movement and some of his shooting, but I think the Spurs can work with him. They need wings desperately. They need threes, and someone like Williams can fit in there, although they won't play him immediately. We know what the Spurs do in that regard, but I think it's a good development spot for him. At number 12, the Sacramento Kings take Tyrese Haliburton. They just traded away Bogdan Bogdanovic and brought in Dante DiVincenzo. Haliburton can play alongside DiVincenzo. He can play alongside Fox. I think he's a perfect third guard, even though Corey Joseph's in that role at the moment. Buddy Hield's around. Who knows how long those two guys are going to be there on this team. But Haliburton can slide in, play next to Fox. You don't want him as your point guard. You don't want him to be your primary guy. He never gets to the rim. I'm not sure of his ability to create offense, but as a link guy, a connecting wing, a solid three-point shooter, a solid defender, the best steal rate in this class, it's a good pick at 12 for me. At 13, the New Orleans Pelicans, they just traded away Drew Holiday. They brought in Eric Bledsoe and George Hill. And at number 13, they are selecting Tyrese Maxey, the point guard out of Kentucky. I'm not worried about Maxey's shooting numbers. I think they'll be solid. I think his scoring is good. I think his defense is good. I don't think his passing is great, but Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, these guys are strong passers. Eric Bledsoe is there as well at the moment. Maxey just get an opportunity to develop alongside Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I think Maxey might end up being a better player than Alexander Walker, but I've got him there at number 13. And at number 14, the Boston Celtics selecting Obi Toppin, the power forward out of Dayton. The defense, I think, is just going to be the big worry for me as to how he can do anything. Can he stay on the court at all? He's too small to be a center. He can't switch. I think he's got some passing ability. I think the shooting for him is a little, it's okay. I'm a little worried about the low free throw percentage. The dunks are great. The pick and pop stuff or pick and roll stuff is pretty solid, but I'm not sure that he's the great player that many are espousing. I think in Boston, it makes a ton of sense. He can develop there. He doesn't need to be pushed into a large role. And that offensive upside works for them. And he can be like a younger, Obi Toppin. Enes Kanter. And I tweeted this yesterday. Jason Tatum is one day older than Obi Toppin. So just think about that when you think about Obi's age. At number 15, I have gone a little bit off the board. Well, not a little bit, a lot off the board. At number 15, I'm taking Malachi Flynn, the point guard out of San Diego State, to the Orlando Magic. Flynn has got it all. Now, you'll see Flynn mocked in the second round, end of the first in lots of places, and I don't really care about that. The more I look at him, the more I watch him defensively, shooting, passing, pick and roll. He can do all of that stuff. He is a little bit undersized, but I'm just banking on him being a really good player. And I think the Magic just need good players, and they need someone who can come in and be a scoring threat and help defensively and shoot, and that's exactly what Flynn can do. They do have Evan Fournier opting in. There's Markel Fultz still around. There's a bunch of guarded, who knows what DJ Augustin's going to do, but Flynn can just move into the Augustin role and play 18 minutes a night and be a competitive player straight away. That's how I think it goes. Anyway, at number 16, the Houston Rockets, they're back in the draft, trading Robert Covington to get this pick. And at 16, I've got them selecting RJ Hampton out of New Zealand, just with Russ and James Harden, maybe both moving on from this team at some point in the next day, hour, week, month, who knows? Just getting another guard prospect, because they have no prospects at all on this team. Hampton could completely flame out, but there is some upside in his jumper, upside defensively. The size is pretty good. I like what we see. I like what we see here with Hampton in terms of upside, but I'm not sure that it's necessarily going to work out. I think there is some bust potential in him there. At number 17, the Minnesota Timberwolves take Jalen Smith out of Maryland, a guy that theoretically could play alongside Karl Anthony Towns because of both of their shooting abilities. Smith can protect the rim. I have some worries with him with some of his strength, but yeah, as a backup center, and maybe taking over from Naz Reid, who had some real moments last year. Maybe Reid ends up being better than Smith, who knows? But a player who's not far off that mold of player. At number 18, the Dallas Mavericks, I've got Desmond Bain going there, the shooting guard at a TCU, a real chance that he is the best shooter in this entire class. Not really sure what else he does, but playing off Luka, we don't know if Tim Hardaway, what he's going to do in terms of player option at this point. By the time you're listening, he may have decided. I imagine he's back in Dallas, but Bain can slide in and be a rotation guy pretty early on, I think, here in Dallas. At 19, the Brooklyn Nets select Isaiah Joe, the shooting guard out of Arkansas. They did just trade for Bruce Brown. Their team is still in flux. James Harden could be on this squad, but getting someone like Joe, and this pick might end up in Houston anyway. Joe, again, a really, really strong shooter, a high-volume three-point shooter. In a Steve Nash slash Mike D'Antoni type offense, three-point shooters are going to be valuable down the line. So Joe, I think, has got that ability there. At number 20, the Miami Heat select Xavier Tillman, the center out of Michigan State. Just gives them 48 minutes of strong center play when Bam's off the court. Maybe they can't play together, but at pick 20, give me a rotation guy that's absolutely solid. And Tillman, the best passing big man in this class, probably. Really good defender, can protect the rim. Shooting, yeah, a little bit iffy, but there is real value there in Xavier Tillman at number 20. At 21, I'm taking Cole Anthony for the Sixers. A guy that can handle the ball, and I think he can shoot. Not I think, I know he can shoot better than he did at North Carolina. There's talk that he's dropping way down the board, and I think that's probably a little bit unfair to Cole. I don't mind the fit of him here in Philadelphia. I think the shooting can work itself out, but again, there might be moves happening in Philadelphia that we don't know, but I like Cole at 21. At 22, the Denver Nuggets choosing Josh Green out of Arizona, the Sydney-born player, 6'6", one of the best defenders in this class, if not top two, top three. Shooting is never going to be there. Finishing, rough. Passing, yeah, not bad, but I think room for improvement. But it's all defense there for Josh Green, and he can maybe move into a Torrey Craig type role on this Denver squad. At number 23, Paul Reed, the power forward out of DePaul. I don't know where to fit with Paul Reed. He could be a top 10 player in this class pretty easily because his defensive stuff is unbelievable. Defensive stats absolutely out the arse. Just think of Matisse Thybulle in terms of how good his defensive numbers were last year and how they translated to the NBA. And if Paul Reed does that, he's an immediate rotation player. You were playing guys like Jarrell Brantley, yeah, as minutes as a backup power forward for the Jazz with Bojan Bogdanovic out. Now, Bogdanovic isn't young. Joe Ingles isn't young. There's going to be opportunities for some power forward minutes for someone on Utah. Now, it may not be this season, but Reed is a little bit older. The defensive chops are there for him, obviously. And he is a guy, yeah, that we are probably a better option than, say, Juwan Morgan, who was playing minutes for them as well in the playoffs. So I like Reed at 23. At 24, the Pelicans, who are getting this pick from the Bucks as part of the Jrue Holiday deal, they choose Grant Riller, the shooting guard out of Charleston. He could be the best scorer outside of really anyone in this draft. Did play low-level competition, but an elite-level scorer. Just getting another guard in there. JJ Redick may not be around for long. They've got to make decisions on Lonzo and Josh Hart in terms of their restricted free agency next offseason. Riller could be a contributor immediately, but just having scorers and having guards around is a good idea. And I think Riller can be an impact guy at some point in the NBA. 25, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tyrell Terry out of Stanford. I think there's real bust potential for Terry, but he could develop into a player. He's put on some weight, but his inability to get to the rim and to finish is a real concern. The shooting is strong for him, and we know the Thunder do like these players that allegedly can provide some length and scoring and shooting from the wing like a Terrence Ferguson. Terry could play a role immediately given the departures of Paul and Schroeder. Yes, Rubio did arrive and Oubre's there, but I don't have huge upside hopes for Tyrell Terry. Let's round out the first round. At 26, Sadiq Bey, the wing out of Villanova. People are hyping him up. He's going to go in the lottery. I don't think there's any doubt about that, and I don't like it. I worry about his defense. The shooting was good, but he was put in the absolute best position possible at Villanova to make use of his talent, and I don't think an NBA team's going to cater to him that way. So I don't know how it works out. It's absolutely worth a shot here as a 40% three-point shooting wing. I'm just not sure that he is that in the NBA, or he can be anywhere near as productive in the NBA as he was in college. At 27, the Knicks, they're choosing Cassius Winston, the point guard out of Michigan State, an older player, but an absolute elite shooter. Look, there's a chance he is the best shooter in this class as well. Him or Bane or Vassell, probably is Winston, to be honest. 40-plus guy over 4 years in college. Yes, he is older, but a guy that can come in and be a reliable backup point guard who can shoot the three. Really hard to get too down on that for the Knicks here with Cassius Winston. At 28, the Thunder get this pick from the Lakers and they choose Aaron Nesmith of Vanderbilt. And people have commented before, man, he is the best shooter in this class, and I disagree. Yes, he shot 52% from three on 8 attempts per game as a sophomore. It's great. It's never going to happen, and it was in literally 14 games. He shot 33% as a freshman, and maybe that's not real either. Maybe he is a 40% shooter, but he is not by any means the consensus absolute guarantee best shooter. You don't just look who has shot the best three-point percentage last year and they are the best shooter. That's not how it works. He can be a very good shooter, but I don't know anything else that he does. He doesn't pass, he doesn't rebound, he doesn't do anything outside of shoot threes. And I think he can be a very, very good three-point shooter. I'd want a little bit more than that, but he's not that unbelievable, can't-miss, elite three-point shooting prospect. At 29, the Toronto Raptors, Théo Maledon, the point guard from France. Slide in, backup point guard there. Van Vliet may or may not leave, we don't know. But even then, you're not going to rely on Maledon straight away. A lot of people are really high on him. I saw this composite draft rank the other day, and someone had him at number one, which was insane to me, but who knows? He could be a top 10 player. I think he's just too passive at this point. I'd like to see a little bit more aggression in terms of getting his own shot, but he's got some good passing ability and a solid defender. And then at number 30, to round out the first round, the Boston Celtics take Leandro Bolmaro, the wing point guard, whatever you want to call him, out of Barcelona. Really, really good defender. Very good passer, horrible shooter. Let's see how that progresses. He's not going to come to the NBA this year. The Celtics need a stash player, so they're stashing Bolmaro. He could easily be a top 15 player in this class with his defensive ability. The shot is what it's all going to come down to. I'm not confident on it. That's why I've got him down here at number 30. So that's the first round done and dusted of this NBA draft. Let's get into the second round. At number 31, the Mavericks go with Skylar Mays out of LSU. Going to run through these relatively quickly. At number 32, the Charlotte Hornets. This is a big change. Yam Madar, the point guard out of Israel. A really, really good shooting point guard. I had him down in the 50s, the last mock draft that I did. But in looking more into Madar, who played for Hapoel Tel Aviv and is playing for them at the moment. Last year, he played 32 games, 24 minutes a night. He shot just 27% from three. I think he's a better shooter than that, 81% from the line. 3.4 assists in 24 minutes in Europe is a good number. And this year, in his two games, he's averaging 6.5 assists in 34 minutes. The shooting is what's got to come around here for Madar, but he's scoring well, he passes well, and just another guard option for the Hornets. At 33, the Timberwolves going with Zeke Nnaji. They took Jalen Smith in round one of this mock, and Nnaji's not that different. Just sort of working it out, seeing how you go with these big men. They're not all going to work out, and if they do, maybe you trade them. Nnaji defensively struggles, but can shoot the three, and that is the identity of this Timberwolves team at this point to me. At 34, the Sixers. Nico Mannion, the point guard out of Arizona. I think absolutely just serviceable as an NBA rotation player. Can shoot a little bit, can pass, can defend. The Sixers need guards, fine. The Kings at 35, taking Trey Jones out of Duke. Could he be an elite NBA backup point guard? Probably. Would you want him as your starter? Probably not. The Kings, again, they made that choice of Tyrese Halliburton in the first round. They got DiVincenzo around, but there's no harm in having 48 minutes of good point guard play. And getting 48 minutes of good point guard play, and I think 48 minutes of good center play is probably really key in the NBA. And if you can do it, you do it. And that's, I think, what the Kings are doing here. At 36, the Sixers going with Robert Woodard, the wing from Mississippi State. Really good athletic stuff from him. The shooting looks okay. I think he's just absolutely fine as a rotation-type player. Someone who you can just fit in as an eighth man, maybe take on like that Glenn Robinson III role that he had this year, and see exactly what he is able to do. Because I think the upside's pretty low for Woodard, but I don't mind the pick there. Obviously, I made it. At number 37, the Wizards taking Precious Achiuwa. Now, Precious is going to go in the lottery or at very least in the top 20. I just don't know what he does offensively because he thinks he is significantly better than he is, and getting that through his head is a challenge. Defensively, I think he can be pretty good. But if he's going to be an absolute disaster on offense, then how do you get him out there? Because he's just going to just hijack possessions. And I think that's a real worry with Precious. Maybe I'm just being too harsh on him. I probably am. I just don't really rate him as a prospect. 38, the Knicks going with Tyler Bay out of Colorado. Really good defensive stuff. I just don't know how he fits offensively in the NBA. I'd rather Paul Reed over him. Hence, I took Paul Reed ahead of him. But Bay is a power forward. Maybe a little bit undersized as a power forward. I just don't think he can do anything offensively. 39, Jalen Harris, the guard out of Nevada, goes to the Pelicans. They're really loading up on guards here in this draft, and that's fine because, you know, getting guards is an okay way to do it. Jalen Harris was a good scorer at Nevada. They may not hold on to all these picks as well. And at number 40, Sam Merrill going to Memphis. Merrill, a shooting guard out of Utah State. He's older. Quite old, in fact. I think he's already 24, but an unbelievable shooter. And getting a shooter in there on his Grizzlies team, it doesn't have a ton of shooters. Grayson Allen found a role last year. If Merrill can come in and be useful and maybe take those minutes that Marco Guterich played early last season, then that makes sense to me to just get a guy in as a shooter and see how it works out. At 41, Jaden McDaniels of Washington going to San Antonio. Again, he's probably going to be a top 20 pick, but in terms of feel and IQ on the court, I just don't see it for McDaniels, so I'm not sure I'd want to waste a guaranteed first-round pick salary on him. 42 is CJ Alabi, the wing from Washington State, going to the Pelicans. They've got a ton of second rounds. I mean, I don't think they're going to keep them all. Again, a shooting wing, just getting more shooting around Zion is a key thing for the Pelicans. 43, the Kings take Isaiah Stewart out of Washington. I think he can be a pretty good defensive player. I worry a little bit about how he fits offensively and his size, but absolutely worthwhile taking to get into your front court rotation. At 44, the Bulls select Jordan Wara, the wing out of Louisville. Pretty good shooting wing, and yeah, Otto Porter, probably not long for this team after this season. Can he fit into a role that Denzel Valentine had, even though they did give Valentine the qualifying offer? Just getting some shooting on the wing is important. At 45, the Orlando Magic take Jamias Ramsey out of Texas Tech. Good shooting numbers for Texas Tech. I don't know how real that is, but he's athletic, and the Magic love athletic players. And just getting another guy that maybe there is some first-round upside for Ramsey. I don't really see it, and I think defensively he's a disaster, but some shooting upside there for sure. At 46, the Blazers go local. They take Killian Tilly out of Gonzaga. Injuries killed this guy. He's probably a top 20 player if he's able to stay healthy. Just getting another option as a shooting big man along the lines of guys like Myers Leonard they've had in the past, but staying healthy is the key. At 47, the Celtics select Jay Scrubb out of John A. Logan, a junior college player who put up some really big scoring numbers, hyper-athletic, not sure about how he goes in terms of defense and passing, but scoring and athleticism, absolutely there. At 48, Devin Dotson, the point guard from Kansas, going to Golden State. I know he's really fast. He's a bit undersized, but he can shoot a little bit, can get around, can hustle. You know, a better version of Kai Bowman for this Warriors team? Absolutely. At 49, Tyshawn Alexander, the shooting guard out of Creighton, going to the Sixers. An older player, but again, just getting capable guard play for the Sixers, I think, is important. And at 50, the Atlanta Hawks take Justinian Jessup, the wing from Boise State. Now, Jessup's an overseas stash player because he has signed to play in Australia this year for Illawarra, I believe, which is LaMelo Ball's former team. So Jessup won't play this year, but again, a wing who can shoot. Those guys are valuable, and that's what Jessup is. And I think that's a pretty strong option for the Hawks there at 50. At 51, Nate Hinton goes to the Warriors, the shooting guard out of Houston, a guy that plays balls to the wall all the time, unbelievably good rebounding guard. I don't know if he makes it in the NBA, but I think he's worth a try. At number 52, Vernon Carey, the center out of Duke, lost a lot of weight, according to Chad Ford on my podcast last week. They chose Isaiah Stewart in this mock a little bit earlier, Sacramento, so these are sort of these players who disappointed in college and look for reclamation projects, worth taking a crack at them. 53, The Thunder, Peyton Pritchard, the point guard out of Oregon. Shooting numbers, pretty okay. Defensively, not bad. Just giving another option there as a guard. Unlikely he sticks, but you know, he's worth a look. At 54, the pace is Abdoulaye Ndoye, the point guard from AS Monaco. Tall point guard. Hey, I always like seeing a tall point guard, a guy that can see over defenses. It probably doesn't work out with Ndoye, but I think there's some upside there with him. At 55, the Nets choose Cassius Stanley out of Duke. Good size. I don't really know what else he does, but he's going to have no pressure to play. He can go to play for Long Island and see where he goes, and I think the athletic upside is enough there for Stanley. The last five picks at 56, the Hornets choose Mason Jones out of Arkansas. I think that out of any of these last 10 picks, the one who's probably going to make me look the stupidest is Jones. So the way that he has worked has been amazing. And if he turns into a solid six man in the NBA, it wouldn't be a surprise. So he's got some real value in him. I'm not fully there on it, but I think he can make me look dumb. The Clippers at 57 choose Saben Lee, the point guard out of Vanderbilt. At 58, the Sixers go with Udoka Azubuike. Great measurements, huge body. Would be a top 10 pick 20 years ago, but we're not 20 years ago. But a guy that can come in and protect the rim when Embiid sits. At 59, Elijah Hughes, the wing out of Syracuse, goes to Toronto. And then the last selection, number 60. Guess what, guys? It's the Pelicans and it's a guard. And it's Emmanuel Quickley, the point guard out of Kentucky. Just giving him the Kentucky boost really here. And maybe I should have done the same with someone like Nick Richards. But that is my mock draft. I got through 60 picks in 30 minutes. Let me know what you think. The draft's tomorrow. I'll be back if there's any more news today in terms of trades breaking. Watching out for that James Harden and Gordon Hayward perhaps decision as well, guys. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Find up the Discord below. Hit the links, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.